Welcome to the Wampa's Lair podcast. Deep in the bowels of the frozen ice caverns of Hoth, our hosts, Carl LeClaire and Jason Hunt, have been frozen upside down to the cave ceiling with nothing to do but talk all things Star Wars. So make yourselves comfortable, but keep a wary eye out for trouble here in the Wampa's Lair.
Greetings, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Wampa's Lair podcast. We are finally back after 3 weeks, it's been, I think. I am, as always, one of your co-hosts, Jason Hunt, and with me, as always, is the founder of the Wampa's Lair podcast, the forlom to my Zuckus, we have Mr. Carl LeClaire.
Hey, Jason. I like that. I love forlom and Zuckus. They're so great together. They're like mutual lovers that are part droid and part something else.
I'm the bug.
Oh, sweet.
And you're the protocol droid gone bad.
Yeah. Yeah, you couldn't be a bad protocol droid. You'd be too much like 3PO. You'd be too good.
Oh, that's true. That's really true.
Man, it's been a while now. 3 weeks. That's the longest we've held off since we started.
Yeah, and that wasn't by choice.
No. A lot of that's on me. I had so many weddings this summer already. So I've been back and forth between Boston and New York more than I would care to have done, but it was a good time. It's been fun.
Yes. Oh, by the way, everybody, this is episode number 22, an introspective Star Wars. There, I forgot to put that at the beginning.
Hey, that's okay.
And no, people, you're not at the wrong podcast. You didn't miss one. I know we've been hyping on Facebook and Twitter our Clone Wars episode. But also due to real life events, we had to reschedule that one for next week. But that will be coming out hopefully an exact week from the time this episode gets out. So we won't be another 3 weeks before you get another episode. I promise you that.
That's true. That is true. It definitely won't be 3 weeks again. Between Jason and I and our potential guests here, we've all just been so busy. It's been crazy trying to figure things out. So from now on, it'll be much more regular as it often has been. And we were all excited for the Clone Wars episode, and we still are very excited. We get to just put it back a week, which, you know, it revs us up for a little bit longer and revs you up, hopefully, for a little bit longer. So we know a lot of you have written in with some of your favorite episodes, which we appreciate, and we encourage you to keep doing that because we'll be doing that a week from when this comes out. You'll be hearing that episode as well. And our guest is going to be pretty awesome. So many of you will recognize who it is, but we're not going to reveal that until it comes out. So you'll have to sit and wait.
Yes, everything is proceeding as I have foreseen. Excuse me, anybody got some water?
I don't know where that last part came
Man,
from.
Man, I miss your voices. I miss this.
I miss being able to do the voices.
Anyway, we have a matchup from last time that we're also going to put on hold until the next episode as well, only because it's like Jason was saying, I mean, it's been 3 weeks since we've put out an episode, so we're sure that a lot of you forgot about the last one, which is fine. So we're gonna, you know, hold that off till the next show on the Clone Wars episode as well. And just as a reminder, in case you were wondering what that was, it's Wedge Antilles and his X-Wing against Jagged Fell and what's it called, the Crimson Tide?
I don't remember. Oh. It's his Chiss Claw craft. I don't remember what he named it.
Right.
Yes.
Crimson something or blue. Wow, we're terrible. We have a trivia contest coming up soon, too. Man, we better get with it.
Oh, goodness. Yes. Yes. Hopefully, an episode or two after our Clone Wars episode, we will be having our trivia showdown, the Pits Carl and I against Chris from the Sarlacc Pit and his friend Scoot. where Matt Krenke will be quizzing us all on Star Wars knowledge. So hopefully we'll be able to regain our title in our own house. But that's going to be a tough one. I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, that'll be bad. I mean, we went onto their show twice and dominated, and then for them to come into ours and kick our butts, boy, I'll jump into the Wampa's claws if that happens.
Yeah.
But I'm fairly confident. I'm confident. I know Scoot knows his stuff, but with our combined strength...
Our combined strength, we can end this pointless conflict.
And bring order to the podcast community.
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Or something to that effect.
Right. So that's all the smack we'll talk.
At least retain our trivia title, so.
Right. And that's, you know, that's something for now, you know. Anyway, yeah, so that's what's been going on in the Wampa's Lair. And, of course, we're getting really, really psyched up for C6, which is just over a month away now. Both Jason and I will be going with media passes, which I'm really excited about. We'll also be sharing a room together. And just so you know, Jason, we're going to keep that AC as low as it goes, so it feels like a Wampa's Lair when we come back. Because I hear Orlando gets pretty hot in August. So.
Yeah, hot and humid.
Yeah, so. It's going to be gross.
So. It will be, but I'm used to hot and humid, so it won't be too bad for me. However, you, I'm not so sure. We may have to invent some sort of, like, ice, like, liquid ice parka for you or something.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, I was going to bring my Tauntaun, but I know he would hate it, so it'd be too hot for him.
Right,
but, yeah,
right.
Speaking of freezing liquid things, I do have to mention just real quick, this is completely random. It was my birthday earlier this week, and a couple of my friends out here gave me some pretty sweet Star Wars gifts. So they gave me a really cool IG-88 magnet. But then one thing I've been like salivating over this for a while now, and still never got it. But it's the Han Solo and Carbonite ice makers. You know, they're so awesome. So I usually hate ice in any drink, but I have ice in all of my drinks now just because I have little Han Solo and Carbonite floating in there. It's amazing.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
They've also got like, what, R2-D2 ones, and I think there's all sorts of different ones too. Those are pretty cool. I would love to get my hands on some of those.
Yeah, I keep meaning to, I took a picture of it. I got to put it up on Facebook. So I mean, I know probably half the listeners know what I'm talking about already anyway, but it's so cool. Like, you know, you get to freeze these ice cubes that look like Han Solo and Carbonite. And I remember, you know, when I was a kid, I was telling my roommate this, like, my cheap way of doing this was, we've obviously talked about these before, Jason. Remember, the little Micro Machine toys?
Yes.
The little characters, obviously, were tiny. So what I used to do is I would take my dad's old film containers, you know, those circular plastic containers you would put your old, you know, your film rolls in to get developed.
Yes.
I would take it, you know, throw things
that no longer exist.
Right, exactly. But I would throw my little action figure in there, fill it with water, and put it in the freezer overnight. And I was like, haha, I froze you in Carbonite.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm getting way off topic now.
But that's awesome, because we have a whole, like, 3 weeks worth of Star Wars-ness that's just been bottled up inside, and it's like, we gotta get it out!
Yeah. Yes, and before we started recording, I was telling Jason, I've been watching Clone Wars like crazy lately, because I've seen them all, but I usually just watch them once and kind of be done with it, but in light of knowing that we were going to be recording our Clone Wars episode, I've started rewatching them, and, you know... once I removed my little bit of prejudice, like, oh, this isn't exactly what I want it to be, and just took them for what they are, I actually really, really enjoy them, and I'm really getting into them again. So they're a lot of fun. They're fun to just wake up on a morning. Well, being a teacher, I am doing summer school, but that's almost done. But most mornings I get to be up and just kind of lounge around. It's a great thing to watch where you're just lounging around in the morning. It's fun.
Yes, a Clone Wars convert.
Indeed, yes. Indeed.
As you will find out next episode, I am a huge, huge fan of the Clone Wars. So, I have not missed an episode, and I've watched them all repeatedly, even the bad ones. There are a few, but not many. So, overall, awesome show.
Yes, I agree. So
that's not our topic, is it?
That's not our topic. Obviously, we want to talk about it, but we got to wait another week, and we will.
Yes.
But yeah, so the topic we've come up with for today, it's kind of just something short and sweet, and I'll be honest with our listeners, because I think honesty is a nice policy. We literally just found out today that we weren't going to be able to do the Clone Wars episode, and Jason and I were talking earlier today, and just like, all right, well, we should try to do something tonight, because it's been so long. So we just basically came up with this topic about 3 hours ago, maybe a little bit longer, and we just ran with it, and we would have actually, it would have been great, you know, having some pre-knowledge of it, just because it would have been something great to get some of the fan responses. So we do encourage you to write in your responses to the show later on, just to give us your take. But basically what we're going to do is talk about what Star Wars character we think we most resemble and which Star Wars character we would most like to be. So that's why we're calling it an introspective Star Wars. So it's revealing a little bit of ourselves, I guess, and talking about, yeah, first off, you know, who do we, when we watch the Star Wars films, what character do we think most resembles who we are in real life? And then which character would we most like to be? So again, we really encourage you, if you're listening to this now, you know, you know, hopefully you're thinking about that too, like who you identify with, and, you know, write into us, tell us who you think you identify with. You can tell us why or why not, you know, you don't have to delve in if you don't want to, but tell us who you think you would most identify with, and also who would you most want to be, and maybe say a little bit as to why, you know. You know, write me a 3-paragraph essay. Oh, I'm just kidding. I've been saying that a lot this summer. you know, anyway, so that's what we're going to be talking about for a little bit tonight, and hopefully you guys enjoy it, and I know Jason and I will, because we enjoy each other like, you know, Luke and Leia, you know? Right, it's not weird.
Okay. I was thinking Han and Chewie, but okay.
Oh, right, yeah. Shoot.
Which one's the big furry sidekick? Me? I don't know.
I don't know either. Okay, so anywho, let's get into
everybody,
it.
Everybody, when you write in and tell us who you think you're most like and who you like to be, tell us which one is the big hairy sidekick, all right?
Yeah. No, just curious. Is that, you know, if Kyle was on the show with us, we could at least say he's the big one.
Right, right. You know, 6'8". You know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, goodness.
So
it's one thing just to say that and think about it, but when you see him, Carl, you'll be like, dang, you know, it's really tall.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to meet him.
That was my first thought. I mean, like, when the first time I actually met him face to face, because I talked with him online. Sorry, sidetrack. But you know, I met him online. He said, "I'll be the tall guy with the glasses." And I was like, "Okay." So we met up at a restaurant, and I walk in, and he's sitting down at a table, and I recognized he was wearing a Star Wars shirt, and so was I, just so we would know who was who. But he stood up, and I'm like, he keeps going. Oh my goodness! So it was really funny. I was like, whoa. But yes, it was very surprising. But I've kind of gotten used to it. Anyway, back on topic.
Okay,
I'm distractible today.
That's okay. It's okay. It's warm out there.
It is. It's very warm. That's why I'm glad I'm inside.
Yeah, me too. So anyway, so I figure, you know, we'll talk a little bit first about what character we think we most likely are, and then we'll jump into who we would want to be. Does that sound good to you?
Yes.
Okay. Yes. So who's starting?
I'll go first this time.
Sweet. I like it.
You get to wind it up and
yeah, and stuff. Now I get to listen to you
and figure out if the way that you wrote this up
exactly
matches what I did.
You know it.
Oh, goodness. Because pulling back the curtain here, folks, we don't plan exactly how it's all going to be structured when we talk about this, which makes it more fun, because then we get everybody's ideas and idiosyncrasies into it. But anyways, we don't know who is who. I mean, so who people picked. I can't talk either. All right, but anyways, what character I think I most like, and this is not very original at all, but I think at this stage in my life, I'm most like Luke Skywalker from A New Hope. and From A New Hope about halfway through the movie, because he's really eager for what the future is and becoming a Jedi and this adventure that he's going on, but he's getting out there and he's figuring out how difficult it is once you're out on your own and what all those realities entail. So he's still idealistic. He's still gung-ho out there for adventure and wanting to go out and, make a difference, be a game changer. But nobody told him that there was responsibilities going forward in that. So it's like, oh, there's reality that comes in with this too, And that's not to say that, reality makes you lose that type of stuff, because obviously with Luke it doesn't. And I don't want that to happen either. But it's just like you get out here and it's like, I, for those that may not know, I, with like 6 months ago, moved from my hometown, San Antonio, out to Arizona to go to school. And my sister came out here too because she's going to the same school, and we're able to share an apartment together. But it's really different when you're out on your own. You're out pursuing what you want to do, but then it's like, oh, I have rent to pay, and I have to make sure I'm working enough hours and still have time for school and homework, and oh wow, this is really interesting. So that's kind of where I'm at. It's like really excited for what the future can hold and the opportunities that are out there for me, but it's like, oh, there's a reality to this as well. It's like the dream just doesn't happen. You have to work to make the dream happen. So and I guess the same could be said a little bit of Anakin Skywalker, but I just find the way that it's presented from Luke's perspective to be much more of a fit for my situation. That, and if I grew my hair out and had a goofy grin plastered to my face, I could probably look like Mark Hamill from A New Hope too. So,
yeah, you definitely could.
So, yeah, that's about where I'm at the moment. So,
yeah.
Any comments? Any insights into my life, Carl?
well, plenty. I like how you specified that. This is why I wanted you to go first. I like how you specified that, you identify with the Luke of A New Hope, this, kind of, idealistic, adventure seeking, young man who, he has this desire and dream to change things. Luke's whole, real goal in episode 4 is to get the heck out of, Tatooine and go join up with Biggs and his friends in the Rebel Alliance. That's what he wants to do because he sees this as something greater than himself and he wants to participate in that. And I think that's true of a lot of people, like in your shoes, and not that I was in those shoes a few years ago. When you're going off to school, like you have this great deal of sense of adventure, you're out on your own. You get to, live by your own skin of your own teeth, like all that stuff. But like you said, you don't realize how hard it is until it starts to settle in. And I think that's really interesting that's where you identify with. Now I just have to ask though, have you ever stared off into a twin sunset?
Not a twin sunset. Because unfortunately, while Arizona is a long way from Boston, we still only have one sun.
Really?
Yeah. Even though it's a desert.
It is more like Tatooine.
There's some definite Tatooine vibes going on here in Arizona. However, I have stared off into a sunset. A sunset, not two, but sadly. However, if somebody wanted to Photoshop another sun into the sky for me out here, I would be greatly appreciated. I would greatly appreciate that. Just like Photoshop that and, stick it onto the sun so it just follows it. Yeah. like that could happen. Anyways.
Cool. Yeah, no, I like that. That's cool.
What about you? Who do you identify with currently in the Star Wars universe?
Well, like kind of like you said, not terribly original and not terribly different than you, but I would have to say Anakin Skywalker from episodes 2 and 3. Really not episode 1, because I'm not 9 anymore.
Oh, I was going to
ask. And I wasn't a slave, luckily.
Yeah. that would definitely be a really weird connection there.
Yeah, I never told you. You know, it's something about, I think, what I identify with Anakin for, you know, is he obviously has a lot of bad qualities. It was actually really interesting. A few weeks ago, I had a few friends over from work. I think I mentioned this maybe one of the last shows or two. I started to get a couple of the people I work with into Star Wars, and one woman has never seen a Star Wars movie before, so she watched the original movie. She borrowed them all from me and watched them with her fiancé, and then watched episode 1 with him, and then they came over here to watch episode 2. And it was really... And she's a theology teacher like myself, and she's a little bit older than me, and in my opinion, much brighter. But, you know, I was really interested to get her take on Anakin's character from somebody who has never seen these films before, who does, you know, who hasn't, like, steeped in the folklore, like, you know, somebody like you and I would be.
Right.
And she really, like, just despised him as a person. And now... Don't worry, I'll get to my point as to why I identify with him. she doesn't despise me. Not with someone I'm getting at. But you know, she sees him at. She saw him as like very manipulative and very needy. And there's a lot of things about Anakin that I can identify with. You know, the one thing obviously about Anakin that's really unique is we know he's born different than everybody else. You know, if you want to use a Christian term, I mean, he's got the Christ complex, if you will. I mean, he's born with no father. You know, that doesn't happen every day. Now, I did have a father and a mother.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Yeah. But...
You're still normal in that regard.
Right. But when I was born, and hopefully this isn't like a TMI thing, when I was born with congenital heart disease, and it was kind of a rare heart disease back in the 80s. It's, I mean, it's still rare today, but it's not as problematic today as it would have been in the 80s when I was born. And I remember my mom always... When I was a kid, she always, like, raised me on this idea that, like, the doctors always said you were special, like, they saved you, and blah, 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 you're destined for great things. It's kind of what happens to Anakin. I mean, he's raised with this idea that there's something special about him. There's something, you know, great about him. And I am not implying that I am, you know, some awesome, great person that's going to change the world. I mean, maybe in some small way I will, but that's not what I'm implying. But I think... In that regard, I can identify with this idea that there is something different about you. There's something perhaps special. Not special in the sense that I'm better, but just special as in different and unique. So I can definitely somewhat identify with that. And, you know, a lot of my youth, actually, up through college, really, even into my first year of grad school, I often thought about becoming, you know, a priest. And, you know, you don't have too many young guys in their, you know, teens and 20s talking about wanting to be a priest. So for those of you who aren't Catholic, you know, Catholic priests obviously can't get married and, you know, all that fun stuff that accompanies that. So now as I'm getting older, I realize that that's probably not what I want for myself, but you know, that's something Anakin, obviously Anakin becomes part of this Jedi Order and denies himself a certain part of life. And, you know, I mean, I love that scene in episode 2 where he and Padme are leaving for Naboo and, you know, she's talking about, she's saying right to him, you know, like, oh, it must have been difficult, like, giving your life up to be a Jedi, not being able to, you know, do the things you like and all that. And he's saying, you know, and be with the people I love. And
must be difficult having sworn your love to the Jedi, not being able to visit the places you like or do the things you like.
I want to be with the people that I love.
Are you allowed to love? Thought that was forbidden for a Jedi.
Attachment is forbidden. Possession is forbidden. Compassion, which I would define as unconditional love, is central to a Jedi's life. And so you might say that we are encouraged to love.
I've changed so much.
You haven't changed a bit.
You know, that's a really good scene because... You know, that's something I could identify with. I mean, that's a question I've had to ask is, like, could I really give up, you know, having a wife, having children someday? And, you know, it's like, no, that'd be kind of difficult. So I can identify with Anakin's own personal struggles with these commitments he's made. You know, he wants to commit himself to the Jedi Order, but you almost wish things were different. And also, you know, Anakin is he really is a lover. Anakin really loves his friends. That's what's important to him. You know, ideals and all of that always fall to the wayside. You know, principles, to some degree, morality, which I don't necessarily identify with that part. I wouldn't slaughter Tusken Raiders. But at the same time, you know, I mean,
you'd have to come out to Arizona to
do that. Right, exactly. To your twin sons and everything.
Right.
But, you know, I can definitely, I can identify with that passion for people that Anakin has. You know, what's most important, Anakin, are people, are relationships. But also, to some degree, too, that's also part of his weakness. Part of his weakness is he's overly attached to people. You know, and that essentially comes from his growing up as a slave and also the loss of his mother. You know, without going into detail, because that's weird and awkward, but, you know, I had a little bit of a tough family life when I was a young adult. And, you know, I mean, everything's fine now, and I have a wonderful family. But, you know, having that in your life makes you a little bit more attached to relationships. And, you know, I can identify with Anakin. When Anakin makes his decisions, you know, which essentially lead to his fall to the dark side, it's because he's trying to do what's best for both himself and for the people he cares about. And, you know, I've made a lot of stupid mistakes trying to do what I think is best for me and people I care about. So I can really identify with where Anakin's at and this struggle in becoming who you are and kind of making, you know, some mistakes along the way and having little pitfalls. Obviously, I haven't become an evil Dark Lord of the Sith, and I certainly don't hope to. But I can understand, you know, where Anakin's falls come from. I mean, he's so attached and so in love with people that it kind of gets the better of him. So,
right.
That's who I think I most identify with.
So probably more Anakin from Episode 2 than Episode 3, because in Episode 3 he's more willing to go farther than...
Right. Good point. Yeah.
So, folks, listen up. While many people consider Attack of the Clones the weakest of the prequels, which I'm not either saying I agree or disagree with that, because it's still one of my favorites, there are some good points.
Oh, wait. Didn't you like it more than Episode 5, The Empire Strikes Back?
I did.
That was for Joe Hogan. Sorry.
Yes, I did. I liked all the prequels more than I liked Empire Strikes
Back. That's right.
So I'm going to let that sit out there for as long as it possibly can.
No, I agree with you, though, Jason. There's a good deal of character development in Episode 2 for Anakin.
Yeah. Yes.
You know what? I did just remember something, and since this is kind of like a fun episode, I'm going to just throw it in there before we go into who we want to be, if that's okay with you.
Sure. This is sort of our just catching up episode.
Yeah.
With a topic loosely tied into it.
Right. But mentioning Joe's name, I meant to mention this at the beginning of the episode.
Yes.
His motion comic, The Siren of Dathomir, was incredible. Let's just take a few minutes to revel in the glory that is Joe Hogan. For those of you who, if you do not know who Joe Hogan is, Joe's the guy who did the artwork for our podcast. He's also done the artwork for the Sarlacc Pit podcast. And he also does...
And he did the cover artwork for Chris from the Sarlacc Pit, his trivia book.
That's right.
Which is, like, really close to being fully funded. The Kickstarter ends tomorrow, which I don't think we'll have the episode up in time to promote that. But
right. Yeah, it ends tomorrow night, Friday night. I mean, the episode might be up hopefully tomorrow by Friday, but it might be running short on time by then.
Yeah. But he's just over $300 from getting that fully funded. So, which is awesome. So Joe will have a book cover. And he was on a recent episode of The Wampa's Lair, where we talked video games. So,
yeah.
And there's his most prominent appearance.
Right.
Right. Oh goodness, no.
Yeah.
And Joe
also did the comic for Hughes the Force and all the artwork for Hughes the Force.
Yes.
So Joe is definitely, you know, he's an up and coming artist in the Star Wars galaxy, which Jason and I have had the privilege of obviously working with him. You know, I've had the privilege of getting to know him. dare I say, call him a friend. I think you only met him briefly at Fan Days, if I'm right, Jason.
I think so. It was like in passing, because they were, I don't know, it was like everybody was getting ready to go eat, and they were going one way, we were going another, and I was just like, hi, I'm Jason, you know. And he was like, hi, I'm Joe, and oh, I have to go, so.
but Joe's an incredible guy, and what he did was, and I mean, he enlisted James Arnold Taylor, I think Cat Tabor's on it as well, and he put together this entire motion comic called The Siren of Dathomir. I'm not going to tell you anything about the plot. I mean, if you know what a siren is from Greek mythology, that'll give you a hint. And if you don't, shame on you. Greek mythology is awesome.
Indeed. I love Greek mythology.
Oh, yeah. But, you know, I mean, Jason has a great premise. It's essentially of, you know, he's essentially trying to say, beware of women, as one should be. and I don't think Joe would get mad at me for saying that. But Joe did, I mean, unbelievable work. I mean, the illustration is unbelievable. He wrote the story. He did everything except do the voice acting. Right. And, you know, I mean, it's awesome. It's really good. I mean, if you haven't seen it, you
can... It's like an 8.5-9 minute video, and it's awesome. It's ridiculously awesome. And for those clone fans, the main character is Captain Fordo from the Genndy Tartakovsky Clone Wars micro-series. And he's the one that goes in to Munalist to blow up the cannon, and that everybody really likes, the one with the red paint scheme. It's awesome.
Yeah.
And he gets an awesome design change, dare I say, at the very end of the episode. So, at the very end of his video there. So,
yes. And for those of you who, if you have watched it, or if you haven't, make sure you watch all the way through the end of the credits. That's all I'm going to say.
Yes.
Because it's not over when the credits start, just so you know. Joe did, I mean, again, he did an unbelievable job. It's a fun, like Jason said, it's only like 8.5-9 minutes. It's pretty short, but it's a fun story that's really well done. I mean, and the thing I think that's coolest about it is the fact that, I mean, Joe loves doing art, and he's pretty damn good at it, simply put. So I think it's really cool to take his love for Star Wars and his love for art, and his love, I mean, obviously, he's a pretty good storyteller. I mean, it's a fun little story. I mean, he puts that all together and makes it work. Obviously, Joe probably doesn't have access to, like, a film crew and actors and all that, and, the ridiculous budget that would probably cost. But he takes what he has, and he makes something awesome, which I really respect. So, if you have not seen The Siren of Dathomir, watch it. It's on our, I mean, we've posted it on our page. And you can find it on the Sarlacc Pit. You can find it on theforce.net. They just put it up too. I mean, this thing is huge. It's awesome.
Yeah. And I think I heard that a few months down the line, he's thinking about starting on another one. So, Joe, if you're listening, I fully support that decision if you want to make another one, and I will be the first to volunteer to be a voice actor for your next one. So,
oh yeah, you should use Dooku or Sidious. Man, you'd nail it. Or Jar Jar, or 3PO. Yeah. Jeez,
Jar Jar running around in the Clone Wars.
Yeah, maybe we could get you and James Arnold Taylor in the same room, and then I could be Cat Tabor's bodyguard in the next room. I mean, who knows?
Me and James Arnold Taylor in the same room? Oh my gosh, you have no idea. Like, my heart fluttered when you said that.
Yeah, when I was talking to Joe about it before it came out, he was telling me, he's like, oh yeah, he's like, you know, I've had to talk to them all on the phone and stuff beforehand, and I was like, shut it right now, are you kidding me? That's awesome. So,
And for those of you who are like, James Arnold Taylor, what? You're obviously not watching the Clone Wars.
He's the voice of Obi-Wan Kenobi and nails it unbelievably well.
It's Obi-Wan Kenobi, Plo Koon, a whole plethora of other awesome characters. So yeah, it's awesome stuff.
Absolutely.
Anyway, we had a topic. Right?
So why don't we? I guess we can finish up that topic then. I knew if I didn't write that down, I'd forget. Actually, I think I put it on my notes for the Clone Wars episode, because that's what I thought we were doing tonight. I was going to mention his clone motion comic, but hey, that's all right. We got it in there, and it'll work. We'll make it work. So
yes.
Anyway, so Jason, when it comes to Star Wars characters, which one would you most want to be?
Okay, this is interesting because I sort of picked two that are very, very similar.
Okay.
So I would like to be Qui-Gon Jinn or Luke from the end of Return of the Jedi. And because for like very pretty much the same reasons, you know, they're very powerful Jedi who embraced their callings. You know, Luke has, you know, become the last of the Jedi and is ready to start reforming the Order. Qui-Gon has embraced his, you know, being a Jedi by, you know, wanting to care and protect the galaxy at large. And they're not afraid to think outside of the box that their peers have constructed. I mean, obviously, Qui-Gon is always running into trouble with going against the Council. He's devoted to the Jedi Order, but he's not wanting to be restricted by some of the weird rules of the code. And Luke, if you watch him through like some of the early EU books where he starts reforming the Jedi Order, he takes some of the codes that in hindsight may have been detrimental to the, you know, have contributed to the downfall of the Jedi, and he does away with those and works around some of those. And so and yet they're still building forward. They're still going forward with, you know, with whatever's next for them. You know, obviously Luke ends up getting married and having children and, you know, or a child. Qui-Gon, I'm sure, would have, you know, gone on to become a prominent figure during the Clone Wars if he had survived. I'm not sure where exactly he would have been, because he, you know, wasn't a very, you know, he was a bit more of a maverick, but I'm sure he would have remained loyal to the ideals. And that's, I think, one of the big differences between Qui-Gon and Anakin is, while Qui-Gon still cared about people, there was a core set of values and like morals that he upheld explicitly, and part of those morals was the care for those that are less fortunate, and which is something that I really want to be able to do. It's something, you know, out there, you know, whenever I get to the point where I'm able to, I would love to be able to, either through financial means, volunteer means, whatever the possibility may be, I'd love to be able to help those less fortunate than myself, you know, give people a leg up, you know, and help out those that I can. Because, you know, let's face it, I'm a college student. I'm not very, you know, I don't have a lot at my disposal for, you know, what I'm able to do. And I have people out there that, you know, they help me when they can, and, you know, either through advice or whatever. And, you know, my goal is to be able to advance higher up in, I don't know, you know, it's become a more prominent figure in my career field that I want to be. You know, I want to become an actor. And because of that, I want to be able to make sure that I don't forget everybody along the way, you know? So it's, and so because of that,
yeah,
Qui-Gon,
please don't forget me, Jason.
Yeah, I won't, Carl. Okay. No, not at all. I could never forget you. you know, I'll say, Hey, you know, there's this kid out in Boston. He's not really a kid, 'cause he's a little older than me. But his name's Carl LeClaire. You should look him up. You know, he's a theology major, so you should look him up as you're doing your, you know, your script writing for that religious film, the religiously inspired film. You know, he would be definitely be the guy to hook you up with some of the theology that you need for that.
I appreciate it.
Yes. But the theology expert, you know, credits, you know, theology expert Carl LeClaire. but yeah, no, that's why, you know, at the end of the day, as much as I love some of the other characters in Star Wars, I really would love to aspire to be Qui-Gon or Luke when he, you know, becomes a full-fledged Jedi. So, yeah, I don't really know how else to say that or what more to say. So, but yeah, that's who I would like to be.
Yeah, I like it. Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. You know, I really like that you mentioned Qui-Gon. I can't believe I forgot about Qui-Gon. I'm obviously not going to say Qui-Gon. But, yeah, I mean, Qui-Gon is a great role model. Because, like you said, and I like how you kind of line him up with Anakin. You know, there is a difference. I mean, they both have that carefree attitude to some degree. But at the same time, Qui-Gon is more disciplined. I mean, partially, too. I mean, Qui-Gon's older, so he has that on his side. But right. And he was raised from a child as a Jedi. But at the right. same time, I mean, I think Qui-Gon does uphold, you know, yes, I don't necessarily agree with the Council. I don't always agree with the decisions of the Jedis. But I am a Jedi. Whereas, you know, Anakin is a little bit more likely to be like, well, I don't agree with this, so I'm just going to do what I want. And it's like, well, you can't be that carefree. I mean, you got to stick to what you say.
Right.
You know, and I think Anakin tosses those things aside a little bit too much. I mean, there's something good about tradition, if you want to use that type of word. You know, I think Qui-Gon wants to uphold the tradition while challenging it and encouraging it to expand and to grow. Anakin is more like, screw it, I'm just going to forget it. And I think that's no good. You can't do that either.
Right.
Oh, that's great. Great choices.
Thank you.
So, as for me, I think the character I would most want to be from Star Wars is definitely Bib Fortuna. I'm kidding.
Oh, gosh.
I love Bib Fortuna, though.
I'm trying to picture that. You want to be a crime boss's flunky. Okay.
I know. Iwana Wonga.
Oh, my. Iwana. Where I go?
We both just learned Hutsi.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, man. No, I'm kidding. It's not Bib Fortuna, but I do like him. not that much.
He's such a weird looking
person. He really is.
Oh.
But... No, like you, Jason, again, not terribly original, but it's definitely Luke Skywalker from Return of the Jedi. Actually, Empire through Jedi. I'm gonna do that again, just like I bled Anakin's episodes 2 and 3 together. I'm gonna put Luke's together too, because I think you can't have Luke in Return of the Jedi without the Luke of Empire Strikes Back. And what I really like about Luke in The Empire Strikes Back is his willingness to leave his friends, to leave this Rebel Alliance he was so passionately looking to join, to go to this secluded place to train to become a Jedi. You know, and when he finally finds out who Yoda is, you know, that you got that great dialogue in Yoda's hut, and, you know, he says, you know, I won't fail you, I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
He finishes what he begins.
I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
You will be. You will be.
Which we know horrifies you, Jason, that line.
When I was like 8, that was just like, oh my gosh, why? Why will he be afraid?
It is creepy. But
what especially the way he like leans in and the ears come up.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And he doesn't get that voice like any other time. The voice is so different with that line. It's just like, what is he doing?
yeah. All right. No, that's okay. But, yeah, I like Luke's resolve there. I really respect that a lot. You know, I mean, he's going to put his whole self into this process, into this training process. And essentially what Yoda's telling him he's going to be afraid of is he's going to be afraid when he has to face his inner demons, when he has to face himself. He doesn't realize that, you know, he's probably making this claim like, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of, you know, any doing combat with Darth Vader or anything. Like, I'm not afraid of that. But Yoda's trying to say to him, oh, there's a lot you'll be afraid of. But what I like about Luke there is, he shows his resolve. And last summer, I actually was in Ireland for a good chunk of the summer, living in a monastery. And I was doing this just to, I mean, kind of get more in touch with God. And if that offends you, I apologize. But, you know, but just to get more in touch with my spiritual side. And it was just for the heck of it. Now, granted, I wasn't going to train to become something else, but... In order to better
put on, you know, robes and become a monk.
I said to a couple of the monks that I got to be friends with after the first week or so, I was like, I started to tell them all how I love Star Wars and, you know, how awesome it was that they get to wear robes all the time. And I told them they should definitely start wearing lightsaber hilts just for fun. And they told me I was a fool, but But we had fun with it. But, you know, I mean, what I really like about Luke is that resolve to tap into that more spiritual side of himself and that spiritual side of the galaxy. And that's what he's doing in Dagobah. He's, you know, if you want to use the R word, he's retreating. You know, he's retreating from the everyday, which is exactly what a retreat is in any type of religion, is it's to get closer to something spiritual, to something other. And I really respect that, because I'm constantly doing that in my own life, trying to step away from the hectic, busy world to try to get in touch with that more spiritual side of myself. And I like Luke's resolve, because he realizes that if he's going to become this great Jedi that he so desperately wants to be and that he so much longs to be, it's going to take this process as well. And again, like I said, I want to link that exactly to Return of the Jedi, because obviously in Return of the Jedi, we see the benefits of what he did in Episode 5. We see the benefit of, you know, not being afraid to face himself, of learning to trust in the Force. And I think that's really what happens when he's in Dagobah. Yoda's challenging him to trust the Force, trust that mystical side of the universe. And he does that. And what does he do with that? Of course, he's, like you were kind of saying earlier, though, with Qui-Gon, is he's totally selfless with it. He takes what he's learned. He takes, really, that love he's learned for himself, and he gives it to his father. The way I put it in my notes is he loves the evil out of Vader. You know, he doesn't drive it out. He loves it out.
That's funny, but I love the way that's silent. It's like he loves the evil out. That is awesome.
Yeah. So, and that's really, you know, that's what he's going to do. And I love the scene in Return of the Jedi, you know, when he's, you know, Luke gives himself up for capture, and, you know, he's having that conversation with Darth Vader, you know, he's essentially trying to get Anakin to reemerge.
The Emperor has been expecting you.
I know, Father.
So, you have accepted the truth.
I've accepted the truth that you were once Anakin Skywalker, my father.
That name no longer has any meaning for me.
It is the name of your true self you've only forgotten. I know there is good in you. The Emperor hasn't driven it from you fully. That was why you couldn't destroy me. That's why you won't bring me to your Emperor now.
I see you have constructed a new lightsaber. Your skills are complete. Indeed, you are powerful, as the Emperor has foreseen.
Come with me.
Obi-Wan once thought as you do. You don't know the power of the dark side. I must obey my master.
I will not turn, and you'll be forced to kill me.
If that is your destiny.
Suit your feelings, Father. You can't do this. I feel the conflict within you. Let go of your hate.
It is too late for me, son. The Emperor will show you the true nature of the Force. He is your master now.
Then my father is truly dead.
But, you know, words aren't going to do it quite yet. It's not going to be till the end of the film when he shows by example how he renounces the dark side, and he just says, you know what, I'm not going to fight you, Emperor, I'm not going to fight my father anymore, I'm not killing anyone here, I love my father, and I'm done. And that's pretty much what Luke has become, and I'd love to be that someday, that person who's so confident in who they are. Again, you know, I've said it a million times, you know, that line, I'm a Jedi, like my father, you know, he's so confident, he knows who he is. And that's, you know, I think what all of us in some way long to be is we long to have that self-assurance of who we are and who we are supposed to be. And that's what Luke comes to find out at the end of Return of the Jedi, is he takes all of this training he's been receiving, everything he knows of the Force, and he channels that into love for his father. And that's what redeems his father. To me, if I could be like anybody, it would be Luke Skywalker from Episodes 5 and 6. So
that's awesome. So,
yeah.
That's pretty cool. George Lucas was a genius
when he
made Luke Skywalker be the person that we identify with, because, I mean, We both picked Luke. I picked Luke from where I am currently, and also as part of where I want to be, and you picked Luke as to where you want to be, and it's just, and the way that Luke's struggles mirror Anakin's struggles to some degree, you know, just shows that, you know, it's, Lucas was a genius when he developed this storyline. It's really cool the way it all intertwines, and the way that people, you know, either willingly or begrudgingly admit that they identify with, you know, one character or another. I mean, let's face it. In the end, Anakin is not a character. You know, when he, you know, decides to fall to the dark side, he's not a character people want to admit that they identify with, you know, especially the second half of Revenge of the Sith. He's not someone that a lot of people say, yeah, I have a lot of struggles and I don't always think I make the right decision, you know, but it's so true of today, you know. It's, you know, so many people out there go, you know, walk around and, you know, end of their lives, you're like, man, there was a lot of decisions I made that I really wish I hadn't. Mm-hmm. But, you know, because people want to be, you know, identified with Luke because he's, you know, that bright, spunky, cheery kid. You know, he's the one that in the end gets it all right.
Yeah.
Where Anakin comes to that through roundabout ways many, many years down the road after doing horrible, horrible things. And I'm not saying that that's the part that you're identifying with, because you went into great detail as to the parts of Anakin that you do identify with. But, you know, whereas the prequels, you know, show the tragic side of who we can be, you know, the way that emotions or decisions that we make can influence the way we live our lives, the original trilogy shows us that, hey, you know, there is this other way too, you know. So it's almost like the lesson that Luke learns is something that we're being learning with him, because we've already seen, well, you know, Anakin over there sort of dropped the galaxy into a hole, and now Luke has to come and save him. But yeah, it's really interesting, and so I think maybe that's another reason why Anakin gets some crap, is because, man, I really feel like Anakin in this situation. No, I'm not going to turn to the dark side. I'm not going to, you know. I think it's really good because, you know, I think everyone has moments in their lives, you know, where they will say, oh man, that was an Anakin move.
Like when you cut somebody's head off, or, you know, you'd be like, man, Anakin would have done that.
Right.
Yeah.
What would Anakin do? Okay, let's not do that.
Yeah. right.
But yeah, so it's just the genius of George Lucas is using these tried and tested archetypes that have, you know, been around since storytelling began, and using them in a way that's very entertaining and engaging. So that we still identify with them to this day. So,
yeah.
And there's so many different characters in it that you could identify with somebody in Star Wars for the rest of your life.
Right.
I mean, you know, one day I could say, you know, I feel like Yoda. I'm just old, withered, and green now. and I have all this knowledge, but this kid is just too excited to listen to me. What am I going to do? You know?
Yeah. Yeah. No. That, again, like you're saying, you know, there's so many characters to choose from in Star Wars, but I think as we said, it's a bit introspective. If you can figure out which character you think you're most like, you know, you can ask yourself, do I like being this character? Do I want to be that character? You know, and like I said, I mean, I identified with Anakin for a certain reason, and there's a lot of reasons I don't want to continue along, you know, into his pitfalls, obviously. I mean, again, I'm not going to become a Dark Lord of the Sith, but, you know, when you can identify yourself as a character using these films that we all love and we know these characters so well, you know, then you can ask yourself, oh, is this who I want to be? And you feel like, yeah, great, good, you're going on the right path. And it's like, well, no, I'd rather be this person. All right, well, you know, this Star Wars can be a teaching tool for who we are. And I think, again, that just goes to show genius story writing. I mean, yeah, I mean, there's lots of movies out there where you can identify with characters and learn about yourself, but I think Star Wars has such a plethora of characters that we can adapt to them based on where we're at in our lives, which is extremely important.
So. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, you can say, well, no, I don't want to be like this character. I want to be like that character. And sometimes there's a direct way of, you know, showing you the steps that you can take to do that, you know, sometimes. So it's like, it's really interesting. And I guess partly because Star Wars just has such a broad appeal and such a broad base of people that have seen it, it can have a profound impact on a lot of people. So it's, you know, it's really, really cool the way that all works out. So
absolutely.
So people, if you identify with Emperor Palpatine, don't go bringing down the United States and the rest of the world and enslaving everybody with a Death Star, because it's really not a nice thing to do.
Yeah, that's true. It is not nice, but yeah, definitely, you know, write us in. Let us know who you would identify with, who you think you'd want to be. You know, if you want to say why, great. If you don't, no big deal. You know, we'd be really curious to see what you guys think as well. Obviously, that's where Jason and I stand, but, you know, we'd love to hear from you guys what you think.
Yes.
So, in closing... I don't have anything else to say about these characters. Did you, Jason?
Nope, not really.
Okay. Again, I want to encourage you guys to write in with your take on this episode. You know, who do you think you are? Who would you want to be? Also, you know, if you haven't had a chance yet to weigh in on our matchup between Wedge and Jagged Fell, definitely do that. I'd love to hear from you so we can announce that at the next episode, which will be next week on the Clone Wars.
Yes.
And heck, any feedback you want to give us, we'd love to hear it. We are now up to 78 likes on Facebook. We've set the goal for ourselves to get to 100 by Fan Day, so that's a little over a month away.
Celebration 6.
Excuse me. Thank you. C6. So
met at Fan Day. We're going to see each other again at C6. I think.
Right.
There's the connection there. Right?
Yeah. Okay. Exactly.
Okay.
We would love to get, you know, if you haven't liked us yet on Facebook, we would love that. And if you haven't followed us on Twitter yet, definitely follow us on Twitter. And in case you're wondering how to do that, you know, on Facebook, you just find us at Wampa's Lair. On Twitter, we're at Wampa's Lair Podcast. And, of course, if you ever want to email us, we're wampaslairpodcast@gmail.com. That's it from me. And just if you want to stick around, we'll be playing Episode 8 of the Star Wars radio drama coming up next. So... Yes. Jason, I'll let you, if you have anything else you want to say and want to close it out, that'd be great.
All right, everybody. Thank you once again for listening to this episode of the Wampa's Lair Podcast. This has been episode number 22, an introspective Star Wars. We will be back before another 3 weeks pass us by, so don't forget about us. My name is Jason, and for Carl, we will see you next time
in the Wampa's Lair.
Star Wars. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Episode 8, Death Star's Transit. A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, there came a time of revolution when rebels united to challenge a tyrannical empire. The Princess Leia Organa, an imperial senator from the planet Alderaan, is also a leader in the secret councils of the Rebel Alliance. But her most daring mission, to deliver the plans for the Empire's most awesome weapon, has failed. In a last desperate bid to get the information into rebel hands before being captured, she has placed it in the memory banks of the astro droid R2-D2. And though Princess Leia is unaware of it, R2 has come into the possession of Luke Skywalker and the veteran Jedi Knight Ben Kenobi. Taken prisoner by Darth Vader, the Dark Lord of the Sith, Leia Organa is aboard a cruiser of the Imperial Starfleet en route to the Death Star, a stupendous space-going battle station.
Navigator, estimated time of arrival at the Death Star.
15 minutes, sir. We're getting clearance to enter the outer defensive zones now.
Carry on. Lord Vader?
Yes, Captain?
We're right on schedule, Lord Vader.
Excellent.
Lord Vader.
Well, Commander?
We have the prisoner outside, sir. What are your orders?
Escort her in, Commander.
Yes, sir.
The prisoner will step forward.
Commander, you needn't be so curt with my guest.
Guest? I'm warning you,
Commander, Vader. You and your men may post yourselves by the hatch.
Yes, sir.
And that will be all for now, Captain.
As you wish, Lord Vader.
You've overstepped yourself, Vader. Firing on my ship and taking me captive, the Imperial Senate will not
take this... No longer presents any obstacle to me. You'd do better to worry about your own well-being, Princess Leia.
You won't succeed, you know. You will never be able to crush the rebellion.
I didn't have you brought here to listen to more of your pointless ranting, Your Highness. You're so upset that you haven't taken time to glance out of the main viewport at our destination. Quite right. Closer to completion than even your rebel agents estimated. I thought the sight of it might shock you into revealing that you knew of its existence.
I'd heard vague rumors in the Imperial Senate, nothing more. You've proved nothing, Vader.
You knew of the Death Star. You also intercepted the rebel message transmitting the technical design data for it. I'm offering you one last chance to tell me what you did with those plans. Once we've docked in that battle station, much harsher and more direct means will be used to question you.
You wouldn't dare. You'll never get away with this.
You think not? Look, Princess. Gaze upon the Death Star. The mightiest war machine that humankind has ever produced.
It's obscene. An obscene invention of twisted minds.
See that great circular dish? That is the prime weapon. Mere Starfleets pale by comparison. It has the power to destroy entire worlds.
You're insane. You, the Emperor, the military, you've all gone mad.
Don't be too preoccupied with the Death Star, Princess Leia. It is, after all, no more than a machine. But it is indicative of the might of the Empire. Strength that will inevitably crush your pitiful rebel alliance. Now let me ask you again. What have you done with the plans? I see you have no intention of cooperating. Very well, your fate is upon your own head. Rest assured that you will tell me what I wish to know. Commander.
Lord Vader.
Take her to her quarters. When we've docked at the Death Star, have her transferred to the detention levels there.
Yes, Lord Vader.
You're about to find out what it means to defy the Empire, Your Highness. A lesson that will soon be learned by the whole galaxy.
General Staff meeting still scheduled to proceed on time, Admiral Muddy?
As soon as the Grand Moff Tarkin arrives, General Tag, he's gone to the docking bay to greet Lord Vader in person.
Vader, has he recovered the stolen plans?
I think not, General, but my sources inform me that he has taken a captive, the Princess Leia Organa.
Leia Organa? Has Vader lost his mind? He's gone too far this time, Muddy. This Dark Lord of the Sith whom the Emperor has inflicted upon us will be our undoing. And we remain vulnerable until the Death Star is fully operational.
You worry too much, Tag.
Marty, you still don't seem to realize how much of a threat the Rebel Alliance is. It's not just that they're becoming better organized and acquiring more ships and better equipment. They're driven, don't you understand? They're fanatics.
They may be dangerous to your Starfleet, but not to this battle station.
The rebellion will continue to gain the tacit support of the Senate as long as they're... Governor Tarkin, Lord Vader.
The Imperial Senate will no longer be of any concern to us. Lord Vader brings word that the Emperor has dissolved the Council permanently.
Senate dissolved?
The decree was carefully worded, of course, invoking the current emergency and the rebel violence. But the last remains of the old Republic have been swept away.
But how will the Emperor maintain control, Governor Tarkin?
Fear will keep the worlds of the Empire in line. Fear of this battle station.
And what of the rebellion? If the rebels have a complete technical readout of the Death Star, it's possible, however unlikely, that they might find a weakness and exploit it. If it's destroyed or even severely damaged, our main deterrent power will be gone.
The plans to which you refer will soon be back in our hands.
That is beside the point. Any attack made by the rebels against this battle station would be a useless gesture, no matter what technical data they've obtained. The Death Star is now the ultimate power in the universe.
Don't be too proud of this technological terror you've constructed. The ability to destroy a planet is insignificant next to the power of the Force.
Don't try to frighten us with your sorcerer's ways, Lord Vader. Your sad devotion to that ancient religion hasn't helped you conjure up the stolen data tapes or given you clairvoyance enough to find the rebels' hidden force.
Are you having difficulty breathing, Morty? Is your throat constricting as though some force were at work? I find your lack of faith disturbing, Morty.
Enough of this. Vader, release him.
As you wish, Governor.
This bickering is pointless. Lord Vader will interrogate Princess Leia and provide us with the location of the rebel fortress by the time this station is operational. That should take no longer than two more work shifts. We will then be free to demonstrate our full power and crush the rebellion with one swift stroke.
I hope you find your quarters adequate, Princess Leia.
Vader, I demand that I be released from this cell and given access to formal legal proceedings.
Spare me your indignation, Your Highness.
What's that, Vader?
This machine? It is called an interrogation device. But there are those who call it other things.
A torture robot. This violates every rule of law.
The law no longer applies to you. You're a rebel. You've refused your one chance for mercy. And now, Your Highness, we shall discuss the location of your hidden rebel base.
Vader, keep that away from me.
The injection arm is primed. Now tell me, where is the rebel fortress?
I don't know what you mean.
So be it.
No. No. Let go. You stop that.
Hold still, you little fool. There is no escape.
No. No. Ah!
Your Highness, do you hear my voice?
Oh, no.
Princess Leia Organa, listen to my voice. Oh. Pay attention to my voice. That's right. You hear only my voice. Listen to it. Trust it. I am your friend.
No.
Yes. All your secrets are safe with me. You can trust me. I am a member of the Rebel Alliance, like you. We must know what you did with those tapes. The technical plans for the Death Star. What did you do with them? Where are they? The rebels need to know. Help us, Leia.
No.
We need them, Leia. What happened to those tapes?
No.
Where are they?
I can't.
You must. Can't. It's your duty.
Duty? No.
Yes. Your duty to our Rebel Alliance. Your obligation to Alderaan and to your father. Your father commands you to tell us.
Oh, my father.
Yes.
Father.
Don't you wish to please your father?
Yes. Yes.
And tell me what you did with those plans. Say the words. Your father orders you to tell us.
Father would...
You try my patience. Tell me what was done with those plans.
No.
Listen to my voice. You are now in great pain. Excruciating pain.
Oh, please.
Pain. A universe of it. Your world is nothing but pain.
Don't make it stop.
Tell me what I wish to know.
Help me.
Tell me what I wish to know. Where are the plans?
I can't tell.
Your skin is afire.
Oh,
you're
no.
burning.
Oh, no.
Your nerve endings are in flames.
Oh.
Your flesh is being torn apart.
Make it stop. Please make it stop.
I will when you've told me where the plans are.
Please.
You're dying in torment. Where are the Death Star plans? Where is the Rebel Fortress? There are only seconds left. Your heart is about to burst, and the breath of life is nearly gone.
I won't.
You must! Stop! You are no longer dying. No longer in pain. Your mind is a blank. You float without a thought or concern.
Lord Vader, is anything wrong?
No! Get out! Wait. Have a medical tech see to the prisoner. Make sure she's suffered no serious damage. Have her fortified so that she can take another round of interrogation.
Yes, Lord Vader.
I shall be back soon.
Yes, Motti.
Death Star is now 100% functional.
Including our prime weapon?
Completely operational. This station can destroy any planet you care to select. The entire Starfleet in pitched battle couldn't stop us. You now have in your hand the power of life and death over every living thing in the galaxy.
Life and death.
Ultimate power. It rests with you now.
And with the Emperor, of course.
To be sure, Governor, that's what I meant. Only the Emperor is far from here. Actual command of the Death Star is yours.
Yes. Lord Vader.
I'm informed that the station is now fully operational.
Yes, Vader, that's correct.
We need only a word from the Governor to begin operations.
In the service of the Emperor?
Quite so. In the service of the Empire.
And the Emperor. He chose well when he selected you to oversee construction of the Death Star, Governor Tarkin. Lesser men might have harbored some foolish thought of betrayal. Ambition has been the downfall of many.
Indeed. But the Emperor is assured of my loyalty. Is that not so, Motti?
Implicitly, Governor Tarkin.
Now, Vader, what of the Princess?
She resisted the first interrogation session. Her innate willpower is formidable, and it has been augmented with certain physical and mental disciplines. No matter. I shall wear her down in time.
But how can that slip of a girl defy you? It's ludicrous.
I believe that she still holds hope that the stolen plans will eventually be delivered into rebel hands. Futile, of course. But it sustains her.
But you've broken hardened, resolute men with relative ease.
It is difficult to crush a prisoner's will until one has obliterated their hope.
I think you're too easy with her, Vader. Put aside your mind drugs and telesuggestions. There are old methods, tried and true ways of making a captive speak. Phantom pain is something against which she can defend herself.
But against the real thing, her resistance will collapse.
I think not. She is a member of the Royal House of Alderaan and of the Imperial Senate. She has had access to many family and governmental secrets. She has been specifically trained and prepared to withstand conventional questioning. I would have to apply levels of pain so high as to risk killing her.
And what of it? She must be disposed of in time anyway.
But the princess is my one lead to the rebels. I cannot chance losing her just yet.
Well, you haven't much time, Lord Vader. With the Death Star completed, I must take vigorous action against the rebels as soon as possible. The Emperor expects great things of this battle station, and of me.
Without the information that Leia Organa is protecting, your best efforts will be wasted. But I will demolish her defenses, rest assured.
I've always found your methods needlessly elaborate, Vader.
They are effective. Nevertheless, I am open to suggestions.
That is wise. Stubbornness such as Princess Leia's can often be circumvented by applying threats to some third party.
What do you propose?
I think it's time we demonstrated the full power of the Death Star. I have it in mind to do so in a fashion that will be doubly useful. Admiral Motti?
Sir?
Tell your programmers to set a course for the Alderaan system.
With pleasure, Governor Tarkin. Lord Vader?
You see, Vader, the third party we shall threaten is the entire population of her own planet.
Alderaan is one of the foremost of the inner systems. The Emperor should be consulted.
Do not think to challenge me. You're not confronting Tag or Motti now. The Emperor has given me a free hand in this affair. The decision is mine. And you will have your information that much sooner.
Just so.
I'm glad you agree. The Empire is vast, and even a weapon as magnificent as the Death Star can only be in one place at a time. A major part of this station's value is as a deterrent. We must prove to the galaxy that we are prepared to use it at the slightest provocation.
If your plan serves our purpose, it will justify itself.
The stability of the Empire is at stake. A planet is a small price to pay.
We've entered Alderaan's solar system, Governor Tarkin, and assumed orbit around the planet.
Make sure we're well out of range of the explosion. Is our prime weapon prepared?
Primary ignition can proceed immediately upon your command, sir.
Here is the prisoner.
Governor Tarkin, I should have expected to find you holding Vader's leash. I recognized your foul stench when I was brought on board.
Charming to the last. You don't know how hard I found it signing the order to terminate your life, Princess Leia.
I'm surprised you had the courage to take the responsibility yourself.
Before your execution, I would like you to be my guest at a ceremony that will make this battle station operational. No star system will dare oppose the Emperor now.
The more you tighten your grip, Tarkin, the more star systems will slip through your fingers.
Not after we demonstrate the power of the Death Star. In a way, you have determined the choice of the first planet to be destroyed, and it is for that reason that I've had you brought here to the observation deck. Admiral Motti, have the view screens activated.
At once, sir.
Since you're reluctant to provide us with the location of the rebel base, Your Highness, I've chosen to test the Death Star's destructive powers on that lovely blue world you see on our view screens, your home planet of Alderaan.
But Alderaan is peaceful. We have no weapons. You can't possibly do that.
You prefer another target? A military target? Then name the system.
No. I absolutely will. Please.
I grow tired of asking this, so for the last time, where is the rebel base?
Dantooine. They're on Dantooine.
There. You see, Vader, she can be reasonable. Continue with the operation, Admiral Motti. You may fire when ready.
What?
You're far too trusting. Dantooine is too remote to make an effective demonstration. But don't worry, we shall deal with your rebel friends soon enough.
Commencing primary ignition, Governor Tarkin.
No. No, you can't do this.
Targeting computer locked in?
No. Please, no.
Component energy synchronized.
No, Tarkin, please. I beg you, in the name of mercy, please.
Firing sequence.
No. No.
Help!
No! Oh, no.
prime weapon is even more powerful than we calculated, Governor Tarkin.
Indeed.
Sensors indicate total destruction of the planet, Governor Tarkin.
No, Father! Oh, my poor, poor Alderaan!
Return her to the detention level, Lord Vader.
Oh, Tarkin. If ever there was a shred of humanity in you or these twisted creatures of yours, it's dead now. You're at war with life itself. You are enemies of the universe. Your empire is doomed.
Take her away.
You sent for me, Governor Tarkin?
Yes, Vader. We should be receiving word from our scouting expedition very soon.
Giving you your opportunity to, how did you put it, extinguish the rebellion?
Precisely. In the space of a single day, I will effectively eliminate all organized resistance to the Empire.
Indeed.
What of the search for the plans?
I am convinced that the princess sent them down to the planet Tatooine with a pair of droids. A short time ago, a starship made a highly illegal blast-off from Mos Eisley spaceport on Tatooine after her crew exchanged fire with a squad of stormtroopers. The ship got through our blockade somehow and entered hyperspace, evading pursuit. The droids in question were thought to be aboard her.
And our stormtroopers were outfought? Our Starfleet evaded? How is this possible? Whose ship was it?
That is difficult to say. She had false identification markings and a forged registration. Moreover, she was an extremely fast and elusive vessel, probably piloted by one of the smugglers who congregate in that region.
So, the traitors have joined hands with criminals, and once again, you failed to regain those plans.
Our enemies are resourceful. But if you destroy the rebel base as you've resolved to do, the plans become a secondary concern. Is that not so?
Yes. When we've wiped out the fortress on Dantooine, the matter will be virtually settled.
Governor Tarkin, Lord Vader.
Well, what is it, Monty?
Our scout ships have reached Dantooine. They found the remains of a rebel base, but they estimate it's been deserted for some time. They're now conducting an extensive search of the solar systems.
She lied. Leia Organa lied to us.
I told you she would never consciously betray the rebellion.
Then her life is forfeit. Motti, have the Princess Leia Organa terminated. Immediately.
The Death Star is now a reality, capable of placing the entire galaxy within the Empire's grip. But on their way to the Alderaan system, unaware of the planet's destruction, are Luke Skywalker and his companions aboard the starship Millennium Falcon. Holding the galaxy's single hope for an end to Imperial tyranny. Star Wars, Episode 8 by Brian Daley. Based on characters and situations created by George Lucas. Featured in the cast were David Clennon as Mati, Keen Curtis as Tarkin, Brock Peters as Darth Vader, and Anne Sachs as Leia. The series was directed by John Madden, with sound mixing and post-production by Tom Vigley. Music by John Williams. Sound design for Lucasfilm by Ben Burt. Story editor for the series was Lindsay Smith. Casting and production coordination by Mel Saar. Executive producer was Richard Toskin. Executive producer for Lucasfilm was Carol Teitelman. Star Wars was presented by National Public Radio in association with KUSC-FM Los Angeles with the cooperation of Lucasfilm Limited.